Deuteronomy chapter 24. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some unseemly thing in her, he shall write her a bill of divorce and give it into her hand and send her out of his house. When she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. If the latter husband hates her and writes her a bill of divorce and gives it to her and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband who took her dies, her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she is defiled, for that is abomination before Yahweh. Well, although God gave this law, he was, as it were, married to Israel. And he says, "You have committed abomination against me, you've been unfaithful, but all the same, come back to me and marry me again." It's as if God loves his people so much that he is willing to even break his own law to show how much he loves them and desperately wants relationship with them. You also see here that if a man finds that his wife has maybe been unfaithful to him, he can divorce her. But if a wife was unfaithful to her husband, actually the man had various options. He could actually have her killed because she'd committed adultery, or, as you read here, he could divorce her, or in Numbers chapter 5 there's the trial of jealousy. He could put her through that, and if she was guilty, then she would be barren for the rest of her life. Or there was another option that Hosea practiced with Gomer, the prostitute whom he married. He could simply forgive her. So there's different levels of response to other people's failings that were possible, and that is because God wants us to think through our options and to act in love, really, on the highest level. When a man takes a new wife, he shall not go into the army, nor be given any job to do. He shall be free at home for 1 year, and shall please his wife whom he has taken. Well, you remember the Lord's parable, where people are invited to the great feast, to the kingdom, and one man says, "Well, I've taken a wife, I can't come." It's as if Jesus is saying, yeah, under the law of Moses, yeah, if you just married, you were sort of free from having to go to the army or do any business for anybody. But with me, it's not like that. There is no excuse at all for not responding to the call to be in God's kingdom. No man may take the mill or the upper millstone as a pledge. That's a guarantee you're going to repay a debt. For he's taking a life in pledge. They needed that to grind their grain, to make flour, to get bread. If a man is found stealing any of his brothers of the children of Israel, and he deals with him as a slave or sells him, the thief must die. So any abuse of people, any treating people, especially the people of God, as if they are anything less than that, the people of God, your brethren, was to be punished by death. When you lend your neighbor any kind of loan, you must not go into his house to get his pledge, that is, the guarantee he's given you that he's going to pay it. You shall stand outside his house, and the man to whom you lent shall bring the pledge outside to you. If he is a poor man, you must not sleep with his pledge. You must surely restore to him the pledge when the sun goes down, so that he may sleep in his garment and bless you, and it shall be righteousness to you before your God. So if you are wealthy, or richer than this poor man, and he says, "Look, I promised I'm going to pay you what I owe you, but here's my jacket. This is my guarantee. This is my pledge." Well, that garment that he wore was like what was going to keep him warm at night. So go and give it back to him every night so that he doesn't sleep cold, and stand outside his house. Don't go inside his house. In other words, don't go into a poor man's house and, as it were, make him ashamed and his wife ashamed at the state of the house and the state of the kids and the poverty of the house. This is again God showing his extreme sensitivity to poverty, to poor people, to the marginalized, and how he wishes us to respect them as he respects us in our poverty. You must not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether he is of your brothers or of the foreigners who are in your land. Each day you must give him his hire. The sun must not go down on it, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, lest he cry against you to Yahweh and it be sin to you. Now pay people what you owe them by the day. And again, God foresees how the poor would feel, that, oh, I worked all day and oh, the guy's not going to pay me today. He said he's going to give it to me tomorrow, but I need it today to buy food for my kids. Yeah, God sees that. God knows the heart of the poor person. And even more so now does he understand, as it were, us in our spiritual position, because his son has had our human nature and was tempted as we were, as we are, and yet he is now our advocate in heaven. You must not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, nor take a widow's clothing as a pledge. That is a guarantee of repaying a debt if she's borrowed something from you. But you must remember that you were a bondservant in Egypt, and Yahweh redeemed you from there. Therefore I command you to do this. All the time they were asked to look back to their beginnings. It's the same with us. Look back to your beginnings. No matter how humble they were, look to where God's brought you from. Look back spiritually. You were in Egypt. You were outside the hope of Israel. You were outside God's salvation, but God brought you through the waters of baptism, just as he brought Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea. You were redeemed by his grace. Even if you were born into a believing family, well, wow, that was grace, if you like. That you were born into a family that believed, not like most people who've lived on this planet being born into a family who's never heard the name of Jesus Christ. It's all of grace. Remember your beginnings. And then you too will be sensitive to the foreigner, to the widow, to the slave, etc. When you reap your harvest in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, don't go back to get it. It shall be for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that Yahweh your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive tree, don't go over the boughs a second time. Leave that for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest your vineyard, don't glean it afterwards yourselves. It shall be for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a bondservant in the land of Egypt. So again, this is a challenge to the attitude of our age that says, well, be careful about your pennies because they all build up into pounds or dollars or whatever. No, have a generous spirit and do not be out for maximum profit. Don't have that spirit. Have a generous spirit. Let something drop for others and God will bless you. And take it from me, take it from anyone who's really seen a bit of life, that that is indeed how it works out. And this helter-skelter spirit of grabbing all you can for yourself, which fills our age, this is not the way. And God does not bless that.